But it's now time for the rural news with Monique Steele. Tēnā koe. East Coast farmers are hitting out at rates rises.
Yes, the Federated Farmers Hawke's Bay branch is accusing its regional council of financial mismanagement and calling for it to reduce staff numbers rather than increase rates. Hawke's Bay Regional Council's proposing a 19.6% rates rise this year, with a further 18% next year, with increases expected to be even higher for those living rurally. The region's Federated Farmers President, Jim Galloway, says it's met with several councillors and questioned their spending priorities, especially in the current financially challenging times. Mr. Galloway says many local farmers are still struggling from the aftermath of Cyclone Gabrielle, but rates continue to rise.
Some of the staffing levels look to be very, very high. They've increased staff in some areas, and you do wonder what the value is of them. And also, that's the starting point. They just need to look at everything they're doing and make sure they're doing it efficiently, and is it really worthwhile?
He says the rate change from land value to capital value will mean some could pay up to 30% more this year, but long term it looks like all landowners will be facing increases.
We're hurting. Not only that farmers are hurting, but there's a lot of people, urban and everywhere, that's under pressure with the interest rates high. So their incomes and expenditures high, so they're struggling everywhere. So the whole population in the area is not just a free-for-all that they can just get what they want from.
Jim Galloway says Federated Farmers will make a submission on the Regional Council's three-year plan. Meanwhile, the Regional Council says it's doing all it can to keep the rate increases as low as possible, but it is challenging to get the balance right between savings and services. Trade Minister Todd McClay is reiterating the message to Canada it should honour our trade agreement and New Zealand won't back down on it. New Zealand won a trade dispute in September that found Canada was breaching trade agreement rules by blocking our dairy exporters' access to the market. Canada had until yesterday to change how it administered tariff rate quotas, but Mr. McClay says the changes do not comply with the ruling. He says the ongoing failure to meet its legal requirements is disappointing, and it will seek further advice on the next steps. Australia's lamb and mutton slaughter numbers are continuing to reach record levels. The product's been flooding into world markets this year, depressing prices for New Zealand product. AgriHQ senior analyst Mel Crode says only a fortnight ago, Australia recorded its largest combined sheep slaughter on record at 693,000 head.
Now look, that just brings the year-to-date lamb kill 25% higher than last year, and the mutton kill is up 14%. I guess as slaughter rates continue to break these records, it does indicate processes are near capacity, but the question on the mind of most Australian producers right now is whether that lamb slaughter rate can maintain that pace. Look, unless the Australian lamb crop has increased by 15% this season, then supply might tighten in the coming months, and that would be particularly supportive for New Zealand producers with potentially just a little less Australian lamb in those export markets.
That's Mel Crode of AgriHQ. John Penno, co-founder of dairy cooperative Synlait, has resigned from the board amid turbulent financial times for the Canterbury-based business. Mr. Penno's 25-year involvement with the co-op that he helped create has come to an end effective immediately. The co-op's new independent director, George Adams, has been named the board chair. It comes after a temporary trading halt and a $96 million half-year loss announced in January. Meanwhile, Nadine Tunley has announced that she's resigning as Chief Executive of Horticulture New Zealand after 3 years in the role. Ms. Tunley says it wasn't an easy decision, but she wants to restore her work-life balance and explore new opportunities. She'll finish up at the end of August, and the board's looking for a new CEO. The Rangiteke Mayor says the right balance needs to be struck when it comes to building solar farms and protecting productive farmland. developer Far North Solar Farm has gained resource consent to build a 38-hectare solar farm on a sheep farm in Marton. And it's not the only one. There are two more solar farm projects being considered in the small town under the fast-track consenting process. Rangiteke Mayor Andy Watson says the district is attractive to renewable energy companies as the land is affordable and the national transmission lines run straight through it. But he says it's becoming difficult to juggle central and local government policies.
We have a number of companies looking to establish wind farms and solar farms in our district. It's interesting to me that some of these applications are being dealt with by our normal consenting process through council, and some are being called in by government. So effectively, we will not be the decision makers. So there's two processes that are not quite in sync with each other.
He says it would be better if one process was used for all solar farm consents. Furthermore, he says some of the government policy statements are even in contest with each other.
There's a balance between two different government policy statement provisions. The first government policy statement is in the need for alternative clean energy solutions, which we would of course support. But the second one, that it would be possibly in contest with, would be the maintaining class 1, class 2 and class 3 soils for productive agricultural use.
Andy Watson says the council is in favour of fast-track consenting to reduce what he describes as incredibly frustrating consent delays, but he says the district wants a say on these projects too. And that's the Rural News for today. Kia pai tō rā.
Thank you very much, Monique Steele.